I will never forget. It was a Friday morning, 8 a.m. calculus class, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I cannot do calculus for the rest of my life. This is 0% fun.
IKR, I know, right? Is a podcast about women for women. Hosts Allie and Latasha, along with special guests, explore the hidden world and narratives going on inside the heads of everyday women. What makes them tick and how they wrestle with stuff like God, work, family, friends, success, failures, coffee, and Netflix. Real conversations with real women. Let's go. I'm excited to hear about our guest today.
This is one cool chick. Her name is Caitlin, and she owns her own catering company. What I hear over and over in her story is her willingness to risk something. She is willing to risk and move.
Do you think she'll bring cake, though?
Oh, I hope so.
This is the one about courage and calculus. Yuck.
My name is Caitlin Banks. I am 26 and I live here in Cincinnati. I am actually a chef owner of a small catering company located in Northern Kentucky. And we specialize in corporate and private catering events as well as personal chef services.
Okay, so why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got into cooking?
So cooking was always my favorite hobby. It was always the thing that I wanted to do when my homework was done and my friends weren't ready to play outside, or it was raining and I was stuck inside. So cooking was always the thing that I wanted to do. And it wasn't just the act of cooking. It was reading cookbooks or flipping through the recipe box that my grandma had, or any of these things. Anything that had to do with putting food into a bowl and mixing it up made me happy. So as soon as I could stand on a stool and mix something at a counter, my grandma had me in the kitchen, mixing up biscuits and soups and stews and things. She was a great country cook, still is. So it was always just my favorite hobby, my favorite go-to, a skill that I felt really proud of.
As you got older and you were thinking, okay, what am I going to do with my life? Cooking seems like an obvious choice. I mean, this is like a deep-seated passion that was in you from an early age. So when you went to school, tell us kind of your process of you did not cook right away and why not, and what was going on there?
Sure. So being the firstborn, you know, you have to go through the conversations first of what do you want to do? Where do you want to go to school? Those kind of things. And I was not prepared because I wouldn't really let myself consider the options of cooking for a living. That really wasn't, at least in my mind, a good idea. It's not stable. It's a very difficult industry. It's long hours. It's working holidays and weekends. What type of environment is that if I want to have a family? They don't make a ton of money. You know, there were just a lot of reasons not to be a professional chef. And so I kind of went through all those tests that they give you as a junior and senior in high school of what should you do, what should you be, where should you go. And chef always came up first, so that was the sign that I probably should have just done that. But the second one that kept coming up was being a teacher. So I was like, okay, well, if I'm wired to be a teacher, maybe I'll do that and I'll still cook on the weekends. It can still be a passion, but it won't be my livelihood. So I went to the University of Kentucky, and my freshman year, my undergrad was secondary education. I was going to be a math teacher. I was going to teach algebra for the rest of my life. And got about halfway through my freshman year, I was sitting, I will never forget, it was a Friday morning, 8 a.m. calculus class, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I cannot do calculus for the rest of my life. This is 0% fun. So I remember flipping the page in my notebook and starting to plan on a new piece of paper how I was going to switch my major that day to business school, get my business degree, and then go to culinary school, and heck with it. I'm doing it. So I remember getting out of that class, calling my mom. My mom is like, what in the world are you talking about? You've been there for like 8 weeks. What's going on? And I marched myself over to the business school and switched my major that day.
Take me inside your head and heart. What was going on? And how did you feel after you made the decision?
At UK, the business school is kind of the center of campus. So it's a big, beautiful, very imposing building. Thank goodness somebody over there had a free minute on a Friday afternoon that wanted to see me. And I was like, look, I have a plan. And I'm sure Casey was his name. And he was probably like, what is this girl? But I had my piece of paper and my notebook. And I was like, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to culinary school. I need a fast track program because I want to get through here in 3 years. And he was like, okay. So he knew I was just a force to be reckoned with.
You were very determined. That was your mindset when you walked in. And so then when you walked out.
Absolute terror. and what have I done? And I have to call my mom and all these things kind of rolled up together. But I remember feeling it was like a beautiful fall afternoon walking across this picturesque college campus. And it was so right, as opposed to being a stranger in whatever this reality was in my own skin, being a math teacher thing. It was now like, okay, this seems more right. This feels right.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, so fast forward me to the moment you filed to start your own business.
So I filed for all of the paperwork for my own business on November 21st of 2012. For some reason, I think I had anticipated that once that paperwork came back, it would then be, okay, people are going to knock on my door. They're going to think I'm an awesome caterer. I'm going to be catering weddings left and right. I'm going to be so busy. And that's not really how it happened. And looking back, duh, that's not how it would happen. But, you know, hindsight's 20/20. So I continued to work part-time for a couple of catering companies, just continuing to try to get as much experience as I could in those companies, but also working really hard on the weekends and in the evenings to build up clientele base, friends of friends, neighbors, family members, church members, whoever would listen to me and let me come into their house and bring them food and maybe a business card to pass along to somebody else. That's what I was doing. I was renting commercial kitchen space from another local church, trying to prep on the weekends, taking food back and forth, just doing whatever I could to get my name out there. And it took a solid 2 years of doing that, all the while kind of questioning whether I had made the right decision. You know, this really wasn't as easy or really as fun as I thought it was going to be. It was a very confusing and somewhat disheartening time that was a little bewildering.
And so you've lived through this sort of really hard work, but disheartening, and something caused you to move.
For sure. So I was in a small group at the time, and we were working with a church program that encouraged us to make a brave move in some area of our life that we weren't really making a brave move in. That was very clear as to what that was going to be in my life, and kind of working through this content with my group, taking these questions, these confusions, these kind of disheartening moments to God, saying, you brought me here. You are the one that flipped that page in the notebook to say that you're supposed to be a chef and not be a teacher. You know, you are the one that put this passion in me to begin with. And you are the one who kind of put these dreams in my head to say that I can do this. What the heck? You know, here I am trying to do it and working my tail off. And what's, you know, so there's lots of these wrestling questions of what am I not doing or what am I missing? Or, you know, I've come this far. Why isn't it good enough yet? Those kind of questions that working through with the group was helpful, but I wasn't breaking through anywhere. So there was an experience we participated in that kind of took you through start to finish of what you were wavering on, what are you trying to be brave on, and kind of make you go through the process of what does it look like to be on the other side? What does it look like to get through this area of fear, this area of unknown, and break through to the other side? We go through it as a group, and at the end of the experience, there's an opportunity for prayer. And I would definitely say that my prayer life up to that point was very private. It made me very uncomfortable to pray with other people. I would totally, in other instances, just say, nope, don't need prayer. I'm good. Thank you. And not participate. But something had called me at that time to be like, you know what? If you're going to be brave, start right now. And it was the first time I can ever remember asking for prayer in any area of my life. And I sat down with somebody and they looked at me in the face and I was already crying. And bless this person for dealing with me as a blubbery mess that I was. And I explained my story and how I had come this far and I've taken these leaps. And I literally felt like I had my toes hooked over the high dive diving board. And I really wanted to jump, but I was terrified. Because if I was going to jump into this dream of starting my own business, there is no certainty in those deep, dark waters below me. There's no guaranteed paycheck. There's no guaranteed being able to find clients. There's no guaranteed days off. There's nothing. I could make this huge plunge and there'd be nothing down there for me. And I felt like my toes were just hanging on to this edge of making this decision with all I've got. And I told this person this whole story of wanting to start my own business and being called and feel like I have these passions to do this. And they looked at me and they were like, you've already done it. You've already signed the paperwork. You're there. God has brought you here. And all you have to do is let him do some of the work. You've tried to do it for so long, for these 2 years by yourself. You're assuming that you have to do it by yourself. And it was like, that makes so much sense. Why didn't I ask for help from God? He brought me this far, so far. Why am I thinking now that he brought me here with these passions and these dreams I've been building for 20 something years? Why did I feel like I had to do it by myself now? I have to work in partner with him. He has to be my business partner. He has to be the Lord of my life and my business partner. So it made perfect sense. So we prayed together and I cried and we cried together. And I walked out of there feeling like I could do it now. You know what? I don't need this part-time job. I don't need to be nervous. You just need to jump off the diving board and go for it. You know, but you plunge in and it's going to be good. And if it's not, he's going to be there to help you. God will be there because he's brought you this far. And it just seemed so clear at that point. I received that same clarity that I got when I decided to make this decision 5 years before. Okay, you'd kind of wavered a little bit, or you'd kind of been deciding to go on this path by yourself. But now that you're back at the start, now that you're back at making the decision with God, everything's going to be fine.
So how did your understanding of God change as a result of what you went through, and especially as a result of that time of prayer?
So I think I had, at least up to that point, always thought of God as a protector, more as a father figure. I'm very fortunate to have a really great supportive family and a really wonderful supportive dad. Somebody that was there for you, that wants you to succeed, that wants you to achieve your hopes and dreams, that's going to help you and is going to offer advice and support. So that's always how I felt. That was a natural thing for me to think of as my God. I never thought of him as a business partner. I never thought of him as somebody that wanted me to also achieve financial benefit, who wanted me to not only achieve my dreams, but maybe be decently good at it and make some money along the way. You know, that was kind of a different perspective on God. But as a provider, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense to see God as a business partner. So after that experience, and since then, it's been so much easier to feel like I can maybe get in over my head a little bit on a decision that I don't feel comfortable making, or feel as if, you know, I don't know what to do in this situation, but know that I've got the ultimate business partner on my side who wants me to make the right decisions, makes it a lot easier. I feel less like I have to control what's about to happen, or have to have a for sure plan. And now I feel more, you know, it will be as it will be. It will turn out the way that God intended it to be. And so far, he's doing a great job.
So talk about control for a minute. You know, there were plans and you have executed some amazing plans. How do you deal with that when you feel the desire to start to plan and maybe cross the line into trying to control something?
The nature of our industry is if you don't go in with a plan, you're already behind. So if you don't go into the day with a prep list, if you don't go into creating your order with a list, if you don't go into your event with a timeline, something like that, you are already behind. So jumping into this industry where you do feel a compulsion to control everything, to control every element of the moving parts of this massive machine that you've built, can be very daunting and can be really disheartening when one of the cogs in the wheel doesn't turn the way that you want it to. So it has been a process and continues to be a process and will probably continue to be a process for the rest of my life to work on a plan in an effort to be prepared and not work on a plan in an effort to be in control. I feel like those are two very different things, and definitely a lesson that I'm still learning, because to be in control is assuming that because I'm here, everything's going to be just fine, as opposed to be prepared, where it's just I'm going to bring my best foot forward and support my team to do this task the best way that I can, and trust them to do their part of the job, or to operate their part of the machine. It's a really big contrast and something that I'm still working on. But if I can keep, on very especially sane days, if I can keep the mindset of being prepared and not in control, it makes it a lot easier to recognize that not everything has to be planned piece by piece, bit by bit, so perfectly meshed together, and that there is room for some creativity, and there is room for some ad hoc kind of repartee, if you will, and being able to kind of see the beauty in what God has created in this business, and bringing the team members together that he's brought me, and bringing me the clients and their unique challenges and their perspectives on food and what their events are, being able to mesh all these other creative elements into what we do as an industry, as an art, as a livelihood, is really encouraging and really beautiful.
Take me in a moment where you're in over your head. What do you do? How do you talk to God in the moments where you're like, I can't do this? Because you talked about him being your business partner. What do you do?
I'm still, I think, fine-tuning the, oh my gosh, please God help me speech. But I say it often. And most of the time, it's either driving to work or driving home from work. And I kind of can reflect on what's about to come or what has already happened. And I'm like, what have I done? I could be. The dream then goes to not having your own company and being a chef. The dream goes to having a 9-to-5 where you're going to sit in traffic and drink coffee and hopefully get through the day. That, and it's boring. That's the dream. And when I can find myself like, man, I really wish I was just packing up my briefcase and going home after another mundane day, that is when I'm like, oh my gosh, God, I am over my head. What has happened today to bring me this far, to do the complete 180 and not be rejoiceful and thankful for my dream that you've given me and instead wish it away to something that's not at all what I want? Mm-hmm. And those conversations with him usually start with, oh my gosh, God, what have I done? And you start thinking about the debt that you've incurred and the sacrifices that you've made and the sleep that you've missed and the clients that you have taken on and the events that maybe might be just a little too big for our taking and we need to buy another delivery vehicle and all these things. And you go, oh my gosh, I can't do this. I am one person. It is too much. And it's almost like he's saying, but you're not doing it alone. Stop trying to do it alone. And it's really encouraging to know that he brought me those clients that might have events that are a little too large for me to handle, but he's going to teach me something in serving those clients. He brought me the busy season where I have no idea how I'm going to get these prep lists done by the end of the day, but somehow they get done. He did this, and he's teaching me and my staff and my team all along the way how to fulfill what he has in mind for this business, what his goals are for this business. They're not just mine. They're ours.
So what do you think what would life have been like if you were a math teacher right now?
Oh my goodness, I'd probably be dreaming about being a chef. I'd be using my lunch breaks to go on Bon Appetit's website and dream about cakes and cookies. And I'd be using all of my math examples as if you had 15 cups of sugar and 5 cups of flour.
Caitlin's story really reminds me of one of my favorite stories about faith. What I hear over and over in her story is her willingness to risk something. Mm-hmm. And that is the essence of biblical faith, is that what we're really willing to risk something on is God. Yeah. And she finally worked that out, like we all have to in order to be in relationship with God. But even prior to that, Caitlin showed the ingredients that were going to be necessary for faith, because she is willing to risk and move. And I think we forget that anytime we come into relationship or we engage God in our life, it is going to require a level of risk. Yep. If we're really going to see what's on the other side of faith in him, we're going to have to risk something on him. There's a story in the book of Genesis. It's actually the last 13 chapters. We get his entire life story of a guy named Joseph. And Joseph is an amazing story of faith because he knows a little of God and feels some promises from God in his life, a lot like Caitlin did. Like
dreams.
Yeah, he had dreams, literal dreams in this case, but knew the presence of God was in those. Yep. But then he went through and you just get an incredible rich description of him hitting wall after wall and having to exercise faith after faith to realize what God was going to do with his life. And God was always going to do it. That's the cool thing about Joseph's story to me, is no matter what depth he went to or what wall he hit up against, there was a promise from God over his life. And he moved in faith many times straight toward that.
I know for me, every time I have an instance where I see God work and I can look back, then it helps me when I come up to the next toe-curling adventure
over the high dive
experience. And so my hope, at least for me and my hope in my house, is that we get to a point where the fear is way, way, way less than the faith.
Yeah.
But it's because we've seen the thing that was intended for harm has been made for good.
Yeah. So this is what he says in Genesis 50:19. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done." Hmm. Anytime I risk something on God, that becomes the driver for the next risk I'm willing to take on him. And so sometimes, especially in Caitlin's story, I heard it's that very first one that is the hardest one to go, am I really doing this? Can I really do this? Will I really, do I really have the courage to do it? IKR is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. Reach out to us using the hashtag IKR or email us at ikr@crossroads.net. Very special thanks for our music to May Klingler. Find her at mayklingler.com and more of her music on Spotify and iTunes. You will not be sorry you did.